November 5, 2021, it's What the Pedro Show. Show, happy Friday. Start off the show with the Love Supreme Part 3 Pursuance. Now, this ain't like I've been playing all week the Live in Seattle thing. This is the actual studio recording, and I just took Jimmy Garrison's bass solo. And that's because it's in, you know, the live thing had this other cat with him, right? There's two basses, Donald Garrett. He played some. He's on that Life in Seattle record, too. But the reason I picked this and just took the bass solo excerpt, because of my guest, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got aboard the Wild Cerebro Show, brother. Devin Hoff on bass.
Hey, Comrade Watt, how you doing?
Absolutely fucking bitching to have you aboard. And that tune was called Lowlands. And it's off this new record. And I want to know all about it. It's a fucking great album. Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. You check it out?
Yeah, remember you said about a month ago.
Thank you. Yeah,
Yeah, start from the beginning. How did it germinate?
I got obsessed at some point. I found this recording of Ann Briggs singing a bunch of a cappella music mostly. I found it at the South Pasadena Library one time. And just got hooked on it. I don't really know that much about that kind of folk music. I know that she was kind of a big deal, like Bert Jansch and Jimmy Page and Pentangle folks. All those people cite her as kind of an influence on the folk revival in England, but I don't know much about that scene. I just like the way she sang these old tunes, and I started transcribing them on bass because my whole thing has always been to try to have make the arco my voice, because I don't have a very good singing voice. So at one point in life I realized that playing the bass with a bow is my voice. So I was trying to learn from singers, and I was spending a lot of time with the Egyptian singer Umm Kulthum and people like this, and I discovered this Ann Briggs stuff. So I started trying to transcribe it and play these pieces note for note, because the thing with her is she would sing these a cappella versions where the intonation is very specific and very very fluid but very exacting, and the phrasing is the same. So I was trying to learn all of these things from her. And over time, I just started playing those things in my solo sets and getting more and more deep into it, and started writing some arrangements of some of these pieces to kind of take them in different directions that I heard them, because I've just been living with these recordings of her singing and my version of them for about a decade at this point. And not to be cliche, but, you know, over the lockdown, I was sending some files to some friends of mine, and a couple of them were, like, vibing on some of the same kinds of music, so did a couple of these versions with these people. And it basically germinated into a record. A handful of friends of mine had time and capacity to record some of these arrangements with me, and so I was just sending files around and forms and charts and stuff of me playing the bass parts. Yeah, and it's kind of how it wound up, and it turned into a thing that was about five or six songs long, and around that time I was kind of got back in touch with Slim Moon. I hadn't talked to him in years, and he was, he was back at Kill Rockstar as at the label, and started asking me what I was up to.
Moved from Olympia to Nashville.
True, yes. Yeah, and always had obviously some pretty deep ears and instincts for music, so I've always been a big fan of his.
Put out a Black Gang single.
Mm-hmm.
That was that's prime true. Composition for Carla Bozulich, and then a cover of Cat Beefheart on the other side.
Did you all do, did the Black Gang do a Rebel Girl single too?
Well, later on, Bob Lee, Bob Lee was collecting live recordings of those tour, that last tour we did.
Right.
And so, yeah. And in fact, that came out on Org. But Kill Rockstar celebrating their big anniversary, they wanted so I put it out on. They wanted people who were doing Kill Rockstar artists. Anyway, about what I'm curious about. So this prod starts as a man alone.
Starts as a man and a bass.
Yeah, of course. The man expressing himself, connecting a weird parallel universe to this woman's voice with the Arco. Right. We should tell the listeners, Arco. Playing bass people is using a bow. And there's a German way and a French way. It's like underhand or overhand.
I switched to underhand at one point because I hurt my hand. I couldn't do the overhand. That's what I learned on. I switched to the quote-unquote German way, the underhand way, about 15 years ago, and it changed my life. Yeah.
It just shows to go you, right? Same exact equipment, just different way of wielding it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know how many times, Comrade Dan, over my journey of playing bass, I've had to change styles so many times because, like you said, hurt when you feel pain. And I think that's how you stay in the ring, because if you keep trying to do that old way, time is taking you. Your body can't handle that, and you end up doing real damage.
You know, that's a good point, because I am grateful. I'm still doing this. I'm still touring. I'm still playing a bunch of shows. I'm still carting these instruments around. And it's true, you know, part of it's subconscious sometimes. You just kind of change how your one hand or the other or your shoulder or your strap length or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you got to stay pliable, dynamic, right? But then that'll learn different things too, maybe.
Exactly. You know, like I'm much more, I used to be a very heavy attack kind of player, and I'm much more melodic these days, and I like to think it's not because I'm getting softer. I think my edge is just getting more defined. I feel different when I play now. I feel more, and I think it's part of that, you know, because it's not just about hitting the thing as hard as I can on every note.
Sure. Look, I'm going to play more from the record, okay? She moved through the fair.
A vampire can change into a bat, a man, a wolf, a rodent, a dog, a cat. And if you have a dog, watch your dog. If you have a cat, well, just be careful. Dogs have fangs. Cats have fangs. I mean, they might not be vampires, but they could be. It's probably all right. You're probably safe. It should be okay. But who knows? We are living in a world upside down. Living in a world gone wrong. Living in a world with dogs and cats and more. It's probably all right. You're probably safe. It should be okay. But who knows?
Thank you. Thank you. Dead land.
Bob and Pedro show. That chunk of music started off. Devin Hoff, She Moved Through the Fair.
Mm.
Then Neil Turpin from Leeds. And this is a drummer man who went to make a solo record. Because, like you said, the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lemonade start coming, turn into lemonade makers. Okay, so at the table, absolutely. Neil Turpin. He's in a great band called Bilge Pump. Comes from band Solanke. Excellent drum. But shows to go, you probably, if you could play drums good, you could play any fucking instrument good, because it's a lot about rhythm, huh? SLWCC Watt, after that, my collab with Sam Lockward, Iowa City, Is This Living? Jad Fair. Okay, here's some people I'm going to play with next week at the Unhinged Fest in Denton, Texas, right? There's music school there. One of the bands is Jad Fair from Half Japanese. He's going to be there, Jad. Mm. It's probably all right. Then Sailor, then some bands that from that area, Nassau, Fort Worth, Dallas. Sailor Poon, Pointy Boots, Wands Dover with We Made It Till Morning, Violet Squid with Rendezvous Canceled by a Cowboy, Drug Mountain with Champagne Abuse. Yeah, so I get to, me and my missing man get, what do you call it, cleanup, right? We get the broom. We're at the end there. But, hey, we're going. I ain't played there since the second man gig with opening for the Catholics. Charlie, when Charlie, before he got Pixies back, he had something called Frank Black and Catholics.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a fun gig. And I remember it was the second gig, the first gig of that tour. You know, I never toured with Pete Maisich. He brings out a stool. Now it's like, you think I'm going to be the only mother? You know, because JR, of course, the drummer man's got to be honest. He doesn't have
right.
Almost are. And I said, you think I'm going to be the only motherfucker coming out of the cake? He donated that stool. He never brought it. Okay. Then Bob Brennan with Botero. Viz with his project, Mail Number 3. Of this one, Josephina. I think seven parts altogether. This is number 3. And then finally, Living by the Water, Devin Hoff. So, did you have more than you need? You said it started, it developed into 5 or 6, but the record's got more than that. It's got 9, well, that's right?
Yeah, that's the thing. When I was talking to Slim, he's like, "What are you working on these days?" I sent him this, and he's like, "Oh, that's pretty interesting. I might want to, you know, help put that out." But he asked for if there was any more tunes, and I had done a couple more, but they just didn't quite fit. They weren't up to snuff, I thought, for a proper release. So I. It kind of gave me a good opportunity to reach out to a couple other folks because I had some different arrangements in mind, and I got to get a hold of my longtime friend and comrade and cohort Howard Wiley from Oakland, who I still think is one of the great saxophone players of our time. And, you know, holds it down up there, but, you know, the Bay Area can kind of be a world apart sometimes. So,
well, what about like, that tall man on the drums, Chez, or the Good for Cow?
Oh, yeah, he's around.
No, about this project.
Oh, yeah, he's not on it. The only drums, I was trying to have no drums or guitar.
No, there is one, though, I
yeah,
heard.
Yeah, it's, the drummer is Jim White.
Oh shit! I know Jim. Dirty, yeah, Dirty. Yeah, they did four. I got to do Filthy Four with them.
When
I helped
cool.
The Porno
Porpora
guys out in 1995, first time to Australia.
Oh, that's perfect. That's yeah, exactly right.
I helped Jay Maskus before. God, my memory. But they're beautiful guys. I think it was Jaguar. They play a club gig for every big gig right in between, and they have them play. And, yeah. Also during the day, and really kind. And Jim White is an incredible drummer. I saw him with Cat Power also.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, he's done it. He's done stuff with Nick and with PJ and all the. You know, I'm using first names, but I shouldn't because they don't know me. But I just know them. But
they're good people, and he's just amazing kind of guy. He plays up.
He is.
People, one a distinct thing about Jim White, drum technique. He'll put tambourine right on the snare drum. It's sitting on there, you know, it's getting hit with the sticks, whatever the fuck, you know, it's a trip. I've never seen anybody do that.
You know, he sent me these drum files for this tune. We did a song, Willie O. Winsbury, which I like that melody a lot. I was like, I can't see doing these lyrics. The lyrics are weird to my mind, but I ended up playing some guitar on it because I was just sitting around noodling with those chord changes. So I thought, well, I'll just track this and then kind of build everything on top of it. there's going to be trumpets and violins, and I ended up doing those all on just a bunch of upright basses because I was getting the sound I wanted and demoing it. And then Jim came on and put his part on, and he sent me these drum tracks that are just so beautiful and so open. Like, the decay on the drums is like a whole bar for one kick drum hit, and I didn't have to do anything to it. I just flew them into the track, and it mixed itself as far as I could tell.
It really helps.
It's a musical approach.
If you record something good, that helps so much. This fix it the mix thing is kind of, it's kind of a delusion. It's good to get a good performance, right? There's nothing beats that. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 5, 2021 edition. Watt Peters with special guest Devin Hoff. Hold tight for hour two. November 5, 2021. It's the second hour of Watt for Peters Show. Thank you. from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Devin Hoff, Willie O. Winsbury, Jim White. Fifth Symphony, Invocation to Trigger, The Eruption of Yellowstone Caldera. Third Movement, Flame. This is the Sentimental Fence Post Orchestra out of Eugene, Oregon. Yeah. Devin Hoff, finally. My Bonnie Lied. And we were trying to get the ethnicity because he mentioned a bunch of, you know, the English folk scene thing that came out of the 60s. But this lady was actually a mixture, Ireland and England.
Yeah. Right. And I guess maybe it's...
What's that?
Yeah. No, and maybe that's something I really, you know, I'm kind of half Irish myself. Maybe I related to that subconsciously.
Sure, absolutely. Nature rewards that. It's that humans with their ethnic purity, they get...
Oh, fuck that.
The inconvenient truth, right? You get fucked.
Yeah,
shit, you motherfuckers. Okay.
Yeah, I try not even think about
that. Here's
what
I want to ask about.
Yeah, yeah.
You being a bass man, bass brother.
Yeah.
Researching this music, right? Now, she's a cappella and shit, but did you go into other stuff? Because what is the bass doing in a lot of that music?
Or there's not much.
It's not there, right? Okay.
It's not there, except for, you know, in Pentangle, what's his name? Pentangle bass player is doing like kind of a neo like Mingus approach, you know. They were like approaching it from a jazz place, but in the original music, you know, there's like the Bowron or something, you know, that drum. I feel like that's the only bass in a lot of,
or maybe a portive
trad stuff.
Maybe a portive organ, some kind of droning kind of thing, because the droning thing kind of can relate to a little bit Arco on the stand up.
Absolutely, totally.
Have you ever tried, you know, there's something I'm trying right now. I'm trying to get Arco from a P bass, the one I used to record a Goldman Bust Out Brigade with you when you brought that baby bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm trying to use this device called an e-bow. I'm not using a real bow. It's this thing for guitars with magnets. Have you ever
tried
this shit?
I have. I think at one point I don't know if there was or if I dreamt it, there's like a bass Evo. Because the Evo is hard to make it work because the groove is the right width for a guitar string, but it's too narrow for a bass string.
Well, you could cheat by putting your cup in it with your fingers and making them the new guides. Some dudes glue, I looked on the internet, some dudes have done little hacks and kludges with gluing shit, or filing down and making new. Anyway.
Right.
What about Go Your Way? Tell me about this tune.
Go Your Way, that's like one of the... Anne Briggs didn't record that many originals, and Go Your Way is one of the few. And it's...
Well, the folk tradition's full of that, right? You have your version, but everybody's almost doing all the same songs.
Exactly. So this one is, you know, technically penned by her, and I think it's a beautiful song. And I got... I basically did a kind of takedown of the guitar part in the original and made an arrangement that worked on upright bass. You know, I was doing...
Oh, she didn't do it. Her original was an a cappella.
No, her original had guitar actually on it. She played this cool, kind of cool, like, dadgad guitar style.
She played herself. You know, we had Ed from Ohio was way into this lady from North Carolina, Emma Cotton. You know about they call it cotton picking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
arpeggios and stuff. Yeah. Libicot.
Yeah,
this. Libicot. That was it.
Yeah, the Briggs thing, it was like, you know, it's using these open strings in this cool way, and I got into one of the things I've been getting into lately is like I started tuning the bass in all these different ways.
Wow.
And I kind of wound up. What I'm doing now is I'm using like cello tuning on the upright bass.
Fifths.
Yeah, fifths.
So the more drama between the strings when you make the moves, not as clustered.
Yeah, yeah. The moves are wider, but the range is wider also, and
that's
the tonality.
I mean. That's what I meant by drama, like an analogy.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right, and I think on a lot of this record, on this Voices from the Empty Moor record, I ended up doing a kind of a modified cello tuning where I'd have a low C, a G, a D, and then another G on top.
Oh.
And having the two Gs kind of like, it gets into kind of a dadgad space.
Yeah,
so I was able to like do things with some of like the drony stuff. Like
right. What Ron Cotter, he does a lot of piccolo, right? And is that fourths?
Yeah, I think so.
But
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like this, the size of a fucking cello, right?
Right, but in fourths, exactly. Yeah. And this is different. I just got into how the range works and how certain things sit, and now I'm kind of playing like that.
Do you have a big one? Because U.S. stand-ups are 41-inch, right? But in Europe, they're the big daddy, right? They're not three-fourths.
They have both. They have three-fourths, and they have, there's four-fifths, I think, and then the full size, which you hardly ever see. Greg Cohen, the bass player, played with, much people did a lot of stuff with Zorn and Ornette, actually, in Ornette's last band. He has, I believe he plays a full size or a four-fifths almost, but it's rare to see. I agree.
The deep tone, though, man, but the stretch is
tough. Oh my God, it's tough. But
it's like
it is
48-inch or something.
But you don't have to. It works out because you don't have to play many notes because every note is so fucking big.
Future belongs to the efficient, comrade.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm gonna play "Go Your Way." Let's listen.
Oh, cool.
Thank you. for Pedro Show, that chunk of music, start off Go Your Way, Devin Hoff. And then there's a stand-up guy, Damon Smith, with Jerome Byard and duo. They did a, I guess this older band they used to play with, they did a tribute album to him. And this, they took things this guy would say and made them the titles of their pieces. So 1 minute, one espresso, one cigarette. And finally, Devin Hoff, Snow It Melts. Yeah, tell me about Snow It Melts.
Well, Snow It Melts, that's one of those ones. It's actually the only one that wound up on the record that I played. The transcription that I made of Ann Briggs' a cappella recording, I played as on the bass as accurately as I could. So I kind of played an a cappella version of her a cappella version. And actually on the Rob from Kill Rockstars had a cool idea, and in the vinyl, my chicken scratch takedown of her version is included on the flip side of the liner notes. And then that goes into a song that has a very similar, same two modes as that, as Snow It Melts the Soonest. It's same two modes, but reversed. So it's basically a minor key with a major six that turns into a minor six, and then that reverses on the next song. So I put those tunes together as kind of a suite, as Nels Klein would say, instead of a medley. And my good friend Alejandro Farha, who was my housemate in Chicago and got really deep into studying Arabic music, and is actually teaching now at Chicago School of Folk Music, and works on the touring gig of the bands and band came to town, I think it's called. He plays oud on the second half of that, and it was really nice to get him.
Yeah, I think so. Their first step is a quarter tone.
Yeah,
they got trippy scales, and it's really interesting. We can kind of fake them, but, you know, people get different things. And talk about major and minor in the same Blue Train, right? But also fucking My Favorite Things.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole,
you know, this thing about, like, the right notes, the wrong notes. No, it's the ones you like or at the moment don't like.
Well, exactly, and what you're using to tell your story. You know,
it's all vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly, and like what all harmony is to me is harmony is the emotional component of the story you're telling, because you play certain chord changes, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it's nature or nurture, but they make you feel a certain way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
Mr. Tesla said, you know, with resonance and the way energy works and how matter is energy at different frequencies and shit like that, or lower frequencies, higher.
Well, and to paraphrase a Minuteman, God bows to math, right?
Well, that was from Jack Brewer. Actually, he didn't give me the title. I gave it the title, but he gave me the lyric. You know, we had to get a whole bunch of another batch of songs together because the Hooskers did Zen Arcade. So we didn't have enough words, so we were asking, you know, not just Jack Brewer's on there. Jack Brewer's cousin. We didn't even know this guy. Hey, can you write us a song? Dirk Vandenberg's landlady, you know. D. Boone was saying my words were kind of spacey. So I used a landlady's note about the fucking tub leak and said, is this real enough, D. Boone?
Wow. It's funny because those lyrics, you know, to the outsider, it all seems so fucking deep.
I know.
You know
well,
what I
that's
mean?
That's the trip about music, though, right? How did,
right.
You know, Frank Morgan in The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He's the man behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. November 5, 2021. Just what Peter's a special guest, Devin Hoff. Hold tight, hour. Three.
Very good.
Yeah, absolutely. November 5, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show. Thank you.
Think so, but we do. This song is composed by Jeff, a guitarist, songwriter extraordinaire. It's called Old Gum. It's not about a person, it's about old gum.
It's that you'll marry I.
good friend Julia Holter.
Yeah.
Saying on that, I wrote an arrangement. I tried to write an arrangement that sounded like there's this Gothenburg-based band. They're still around called Agrimonia. They're kind of like a doomy crust band that I'm obsessed with. And I tried to write
Sweden.
Yeah. I tried to write a thing about how they would sound on the upright bass.
Okay. So we should tell the people that we start off the third man. He's talking about this tune here. Let No Man. Steal your time, but we've got the Louis Cano a brief title there. And then Priko Svermiru, Story of the Universe in Slovene. Sorry for destroying that language. My apologies. Live at Muziki Binala Zagreb, 1980. Oh, it's still Yugoslavia. Mm. Trobukova Kuste Peshi. Then Babes New York City, Old Gum. Yeah, terrible band name, but cute songs. Ration with Styrofoam Mouthpiece. Team Dresch out of Olympia. Donna Dresch, great bass lady. Yeah, My Voice. Yeah. And finally, Devin Hoff with Blackwater Side.
Ooh.
Enlighten us.
Blackwater Side features our also mutual friend Emmett Kelly.
Yeah, he was on the show. Right? He moved from Chicago to here, and quite a guitar man. A big range of stuff. He does everything from, like, way out to, like, way... You know, familiar.
Yeah, he's kind of a scholar of, like, that exact kind of, like, Irish-English folk music that this music is based on. So I had him sing a song. I asked him to sing a song, and he kind of took me to task because he knows how it really should go. I'm doing this outsider, you know. I was trying to not get too deep into the history of it because I didn't want to get caught up in it and just, you know. But he knows the history really well, so it was nice to have that in there too. He killed it.
So you were in student mode.
I am very conscious. Well, I think so historically, and I just the way my brain works naturally.
Yeah.
And I really tried to circumvent that in this project. I wanted to let the sounds that I like and what I like about these recordings that I was. Basing these arrangements off of, because a lot of the arrangements at the end of the day sound nothing like the originals. They're just basically brand new songs that I took, you know, some melody for or something.
Interpretations, or you're looking.
Some of them were like
launch pads or springboards.
Yeah, it's a mix. It's a mix. Okay. But some of them about half of them are very much launch pads, and I like that term for it. Yeah, and so I wanted it to be.
You know where
like
I
that,
use that I, phrase a lot? The future I see for the bass as a composition tool. Mm. Because we don't have a lot of that. We got some harmony, but we got a lot of rhythm, right, and dynamics.
Yeah.
But because of our lack of harmony, because we're so narrow, our overall thing, we leave a lot of room for the collabs.
Yeah.
This idea of working the holes? Well, it's kind of built into the physics of our machine.
That's a really good point. With this kind of situation, that's how it works so well. You know, like actually on that Go Your Way song, Sharon Van Etten, singing, who I play in her band these days, she agreed to sing on it. You know, all these singers were so, and all the instruments, everybody was so generous with their time and energy. It was kind of amazing. But the version I gave her, she was like, there's so much holes there, you know?
Absolutely. It's weird about composing on the bass, but you got to kind of almost like guess the future.
Exactly. Yeah. And she was like, "How do you want me to phrase this? You know, where are you hearing it?" And I was like, "Honestly, just find, you know, just do it."
That's the greatest direction right there. Comment down. Look, you gave me this. How do you pronounce this? W-E-Y, second word, L-O.
Way low. I don't know.
Is it Gaelic?
It's Kurdish.
Oh, it's Kurdish. Okay.
Yeah, that's a Kurdish.
Because this isn't from the collection. Now, there was only 9 songs, so I had to find 2 other songs.
Okay. Yeah, that's from this record I made a few years back.
Right, right, right. And I might have already played it, but fuck it. It gets a rerun on the Watt from Peter.
Oh, awesome.
Papa Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Waylo from Devin Hoff. This ain't from the new album, people. This is from a little while ago because the album's only got 9 tunes, so we need 11 for the show. So we got to find these other ones. This one here, Waylo. And then from Tevik, Fritoyov. Fritoyov. Forgive me, I'm ruining the Russian language. Portal Ozin, number one. Then Moshat Doma out of the Ukraine with Atveta. Is it Ukraine or is it Belarus? Ah, fuck. Mm. Yeah, I worked for this old lawyer. He said, Mr. What? You know, sometimes a little bit of knowledge is more dangerous than ignorance. Because you think you know it's fucking up. Okay. And then Tolem, our piano man friend, who's sold the band, now and his wife are touring worldwide on trains, you know, for the lifelong tour. Tolem and Modirzadeh with Facet 26. And finally, Devin Hoff and the Cuckoo, which kind of brings us full circle because this was related to the new stuff. Now, you know about the cuckoo bird, right?
I don't know.
Of course, you know it as a model for those clocks out of Switzerland, right? But the bird itself is a motherfucker, right? They won't raise their own babies. They lay their eggs in other people's fucking nests. And that new mother bird, it's called a brood parasite, right? Because there's no real biology sucking the blood out or anything. You foist your fucking babies and the other bird don't realize.
And they raise their babies.
Yeah, and they boot the original babies out. So the mom don't know. Yeah, it's like fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah, nature in all its facets. But but you had another enlightening thing about the cuckoo because, you know, related to the tune. Let us hear. And Ann Briggs.
Yeah. That's the. That was another one I learned from her, and I tried to learn to play it all in harmonics on the bass. Just because it makes it pretty, but finding a high C is really hard.
You know, this thing about doing voice with an instrument, I guess it's backwards of scat, right? Because that's a voice trying to do an instrument.
Oh, good point.
Right, okay. But no, me and Larry, the guy who did the last 2 years of helping the Stooges out, did some doing some tributes. To the, you know, the Ashton brothers and Brother Steve we've lost, of course. And you know, for Ig's voice, I play fuzz bass.
Oh, cool.
Maybe it's kind of in a trippy way related to what you're doing in a way. There's something about the human voice. It's definitely a fucking instrument.
Yes. Yeah, and it's fun to kind of decontextualize it. You know, I like taking the words out of it and then putting them back on it or something. You know what I mean? Like,
other thing is intervals. They don't have to have a lot. Most conversations don't have a lot of drama in the intervals. They're very close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Asian, like Chinese, they're kind of singing. So there is...
Yeah, tonal, right.
Right, it's more tonal that way. But a lot of, like, pretty flat with the English thing, right? Except when you want to let somebody know it's a question or, you know, it's not a question, right? It's a statement. It could be the same thing. It's the way how you raise the pitch at the end of your sentence, right? You're trying to show pronunciation marks almost with your speaking. And I know that when I was trying to adapt, you know, them Stooges songs like 69 or 70 or Funhouse, yeah, there wasn't a lot of moving around. What was really important was the rhythm parts.
Oh, interesting. Right.
The way it went to the backing track, because that's what the singing, especially Stooges, there's a lot of syncopation between the fucking rhythms. Because, you know, Ig's a drummer. That's where he got his name.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that's where he got his name.
Yeah, he played in a band called the Iguanas. His real name is Jim. I've never called him that. But right? Well, you said there was something about calling somebody by their first name, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I helped him for 125 months, but I still never thought I had the right, you know, he was always Ig to me.
Yeah.
Fucking, he's worked for it, believe me.
I don't think I called you by your first name.
Yeah. I grew up in Navy House and none of us used first names. Even if they were brothers. Oh, Thompson, no, the other one. Okay. I think it's some military spillover, but maybe not so negative. At least no one was getting hurt. And there's enough fucking mics, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, though, too, the fuzz bass thing and the, we were talking about playing with a bow earlier.
Well, the fuzz gives you the sustain, yeah, right.
Yeah, so that's a way to do it, too.
That's right, that's right. But somebody turned me on to this composer, modern, a guy from Romania who's using stand-up basses doing arco, and I'm trying to get into that on electric bass. You know, I tried in the late 90s to do stand-up, and in fact made a single for Kills Rock Stars, right? It was called Lil Pit. There was this club called the White Horse or something near Atwater Village, and it had a pit that was like only four tiles. It was the fucking tiniest pit I ever saw. So I named this, and I thought, look, if you're going to make a record, you're going to have to learn this motherfucker. It was a plywood kind of rockabilly K one, you know, and it was hard. Sure. Man. It beat me up bad. It beat me up, but I ended up doing two songs with Steve Perkins, Talia. I think they were cover songs of covers that Nina Simone did. Talia picked. One was
I never heard this.
Ask Slim about it. Yeah, Feeling Good was the other one, right? Anthony Newley or something. The guy David Bowie kind of got his singing stuff. And the other side was written by Tina Turner's sister when they were working with Ike Turner, right? Funkier than a Mosquito's Tweeter, man. That's a heavy song.
That's the name of it?
Yeah. Spike will flow it to you. I'll get it to you. But that's Watts only recording on a stand-up. A big honor. You're such an inspiration to me, really. And I can't wait till we do our next installment of the Emma Goldman Bust Out.
I mean, the honor is completely mine. I'm still swimming in some seas that you helped chart for me before we even met, you know, and since. So.
Well, thank you so much for being you and keeping on, because you got a co-conspirator here in Pedro. People, it's been the November 5, 2021 Dishawop Pedro Show. Keep your pattern right.